one of us. May none of us live the same. Bless us and enlarge our territory. May we be blessed because we came. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We may take our seats. Hallelujah. Welcome to friends and family. Sunday. We can put our hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Okay, so we want to start. God wants to speak to us about something very important. Life-changing, actually. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Amen. So now, it is very important for us to know what Jesus did when he walked the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, whatever Jesus did when he walked the earth is going to be, or are going to be the most important things. Whatever Jesus did when he walked the earth are going to be the most important things. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because if God became a man, which he did, he would do the most important and most critical things. Because the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So whatever God would do would be so big that it would even confound us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, it also means that whatever Jesus did was the most important and the maximum good. Amen. The maximum good that was done when Jesus came. Amen. How is that? So if the Bible is saying that, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people, then it means that Jesus went about preaching, teaching, healing. Hallelujah. Now you can put your hands together for the Lord. But let's also go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So based on these two verses, when Jesus walked the earth, he went about preaching, teaching, healing, doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Hallelujah. First John 3:8. Time to time. God is good. First John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or made visible, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. So it means that Jesus Christ went about preaching, teaching, healing, doing good, and destroying all the works of the devil. Now, this word destroy is a word that means raise. And the word raise is not R-I-S-E, but R-A-Z-E. Hallelujah. Amen. The word raise means to demolish. It means to utterly wipe out. It means to utterly destroy and put to naught. So you can read this verse, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy, he might nullify, he might put to naught, he might raise, he might utterly wipe out the works of the devil. So when Jesus walked the earth, he went about preaching, teaching, healing, doing good, destroying all the works of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. What does it mean? It means that preaching, teaching, healing are destroying the works of the devil. Amen. It means preaching, teaching, healing is the maximum good that can be done. Amen. It means that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, one of my, in fact, that's the motto or the verse for our crusades or campaigns now. Hallelujah. The verse, anytime I read that verse or God is about to perform miracles, we will watch it again tonight. About to perform miracles, I just need to read this verse. And it just makes me know that it's certain. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. It means that what Jesus did yesterday, he is doing today. Amen. And he will continue to do. Can I have an amen? Amen? What Jesus did yesterday, he is going to do today, and he is going to continue to do. Now, what did Jesus do yesterday? Preach, teach, heal all that are oppressed of the devil, destroy the works of the devil. It means he's doing that still. Amen. How is he doing that? By people preaching, by people teaching, and by people healing, or he healing through people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why is preaching, teaching, and healing the maximum good? Hallelujah. Amen. Why is preaching, teaching, healing the maximum good? Now that's what we're going to talk about. So we are going to talk about preaching, teaching, healing. Hallelujah. Now, why is preaching very important? Because preaching deals with man's problems from the root of it. Preach. Hallelujah. Amen. Preaching the word of God deals with man's problems from the root of it. Now, what are man's problems? If you remember, the Bible says that when Adam sinned, God first told Adam, "Adam, I give you dominion over the whole earth, over the cattle, over the birds of the air, over every creeping thing. I give you dominion over," or "I give you rulership over," or "I tell you to take dominion or control over them." Not over other people, but over them. Can I have an amen? Amen. So, if God did that, and then Satan caused Adam to sin, do you remember what God told Adam? He said, "Adam, what have you done? Do you not understand that by what you've done, there will be HIV, there will be cancer, there will be leprosy, there will be hepatitis, there will be HPV, there will be all sorts of diseases, there will be broken relationships, there will be disappointment, there will be poverty, there will be the whole works. Did you not understand that what you did is very, very significant?" Do you also remember when Jesus was being tempted that the devil told Jesus in one of the temptations that, "Look, all these kingdoms have been what? Delivered unto me." So the kingdoms were delivered unto Satan when Adam sinned, because Adam was initially the ruler of this world. But when Adam sinned, Adam gave that right and that dominion to Satan. That's why the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said, "Now all authority that was lost has been given unto me, and I've given it back to the church." Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We will talk about that later on. Hallelujah. So, preaching. So, why would Jesus spend all his time preaching and teaching and healing? That's all he did. He didn't establish hospitals. He didn't establish relief organizations. Because he didn't just spend his time healing everyone. Otherwise, all those people will be covered. And then their children, their grandchildren will have no one to heal. Also, it would have meant that those thousands of miles away will have no one to help them. Because Jesus, since he was fully God and fully man, he was not able to just appear everywhere. He was confined to a certain place at a certain time. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So preaching attacks the root of man's problems. Now, what are the root of man's problems? Sin. Do you know that it is because we sin that we will die? If there was someone in this room who has never sinned, that person will not die. It is because man sinned. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Did you get that? Because of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death, and that word death is not just dying, but everything bad, by sin. And so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. Not only did the sin nature pass unto man, but check it out. When a child is born and the child keeps growing, the child starts to lie. No one teaches them how to sin. Actually, the parents' duty is to correct them and to prevent them from lying and from sinning. But no matter how hard a parent tries, sin is in the child. Am I preaching to somebody? This is why when we are exposed to God's word for some time and obey, deliverance and breakthrough occur. I know countless examples of people. I remember when I was in Minneapolis, where we came from, there we had a number of people. For example, I'll give you three or four examples. There was a homeless guy who, when we're going on outreach, we see him with the signs, "Heaven help the homeless, heaven help the homeless, heaven help the homeless." We see him. Now, this guy, we're able to take him out of the heaven help the homeless situation. And we took him to church, took him to the Salvation Army. Because we had so many people like that, that if we're going to house them, it will not be a joke. Am I preaching to somebody? So we took him to the Salvation Army. No, actually, we took him to the Salvation Army, and then one of the members decided to house this man. Now, this man who was a nurse, I don't know what kind of nurse, I don't know whether he was an, I'm assuming, I don't know, but he was a nurse. I was going to try to think of or remember what type of nurse, but it doesn't matter. The main thing is that he was a nurse. Am I preaching to somebody? So this nurse, through drugs, through alcohol, through different situations, lost his job, lost his livelihood, and became homeless. Lost his family. He didn't have any contact with his family for a long time. Then he started to come to church. But we told him that, look, coming to church is not the solution only. But read your Bible, pray every day, pray Sunday school. But the Sunday school thing is more powerful. It's the meat of our blessing. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Okay, and when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Check this out.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
So he told him, simple, read your Bible, pray every day, come to church. That's the prescription. Why? Because since sin is the woe of man's problems, there are certain devils that are activated because of our sins. But when we become born again Christians, those devils, the Bible says that Christ, through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, he stripped demonic power from around us. Hallelujah. So by coming to church, by reading his Bible, and having his quiet time and praying every day, can you believe that those demons that were attached to him, that were fixed to him, that were causing the problems, that were causing the anxiety, that were causing the depression, that were causing the poverty, those demons began to run? And could you believe that after a while, he got a nursing job? I tell you. There was also, the examples are plenty. There was also another guy. Now, this guy, we met in a homeless shelter, because we used to do a lot of homeless shelters. We should also look for them. We used to go to homeless shelters and feed them. It was a regular thing. Because Jesus said, if you are trying to follow Jesus, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that, in as much as you have done it unto the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. So we go to prisons. We also, what did Jesus say? We went to prisons. Let's look for prisons. When they minister to them, met many of them. It's very discouraging because prison, everybody in prison, when you talk to them, oh God, when I come out, oh, I'm going to praise God, I'm going to serve God, oh, hallelujah. As soon as they come, you don't even see their faces. And we are not going there to get members. We are just going there to fulfill that verse. But we still need to go. Even though you don't even say bye-bye. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then we went to homeless shelters to feed them. So on one of these ventures to a homeless shelter, we met a guy and his wife. And this woman was pregnant at that time. Now, they had lost their children, 3 children, to the state because of drug activity. They were hopeless, drugs, nothing well. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. And now, this guy, we told him the simple formula. Come to church, read your Bible, pray every day. Can you believe that I held the children as the state was giving all the 3 children back to them? Because they started to follow the word of God. And it attacked the root of their problem. And those demons of frustration, those demons of poverty, those demons of addiction, those demons of hopelessness left them. Countless examples. There was actually another guy, the same story, but he, as God was blessing him and he started to get his children, things started to work, he got an apartment, then he started to stop church. Aren't you coming? Oh, you know, pastor, got to sort this out, that out. Aren't you coming? Oh, you know, got to handle this, sort this. And I said, okay, are you reading your Bible? Oh, you know, got to sort this. I said, be careful. I mentioned his name. Fred, be careful. You be careful. You lose everything. That demon is trying to catch you. Be careful. He said, yes, pastor. Yes, pastor. He lost everything. It was like we were watching a movie. He lost everything because those demons were waiting. What did Jesus say? When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh around about in dry places looking for rest. And when he finds no rest, he says to himself, I'm going back to the house. How dare that calling the temple of God anyway. I'm going back to the house from whence I came. When he goes, he finds the place cleaned by God because the demon has been cast out and the place is clean, but there is no word in there. The place is empty and the scriptures, the word that is able to save is not in there. They are not reading the word. They are not studying the word. And because of that, the demon has access to that place and takes 7 more demons. And the latter end of that person is usually worse than the former. The word of God is power. The word of God. Now, what other reasons are so powerful that Jesus kept on preaching, teaching, and healing? How many have seen how important it is? Because the root of man's problems is sin. And Satan sometimes will have legal rights to people. Legal rights. But when we become born again Christians, how many know of born again? You see, I've met born again Christians. There's a born again Christian lady who said that she was accursed. Told me she's accursed. I said, how can someone curse whom God has blessed? How are you accursed? She said, look, Pastor, you don't know my story. I'm going to tell you my story. I'm accursed. Ever since I came to this country, even sustaining a job is impossible. I can't even keep a job for even a month. A month. So I prayed for her, and that was the end of that. She kept the job from going forward. Clara, also the same. She, look, I said, Clara, every time you talk to her, there's a chemical here, the Lord, they set a fire. Look, the stories were just wild, but God delivered her from that. So because of that, a particular lady came to, one of the members actually invited one of the people to come to church to see me. Because as for me, I believe in Jesus. What did Jesus do? When someone was sick, they'll call Jesus, Jesus will go, and I'm to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean it's because I'm a pastor, I'm somebody. I just believe the Bible. Like Catherine Kuhlman, I believe in miracles. I've told people, anytime there's someone sick, it doesn't matter who, even dead people, I'll come there. I've tried to raise the dead 3 times. I don't let people die around me just like that. We'll have to fight. Someone's co-worker was sick in bed. The child was having seizures every minute. Because of that, they had to put the child to sleep, coma. I went there and I told the member that, look, tell the person, your colleague, to call me, because I don't want to go there and be pushed, brushed off. So let them call me, because sometimes people will take it as an offense. How dare you come? That we are trying to mourn. The child is about to die. How dare you? So I went there. When I saw the child, hopeless situation. But God raised the child. We've seen different things. So because of that, the member told the lady, look, I have a pastor who just believes in God. Just like Augustus or anyone can say, I believe in God. It doesn't mean anything. It's Jesus who is doing it. Amen. How many get what I'm saying? Amen. There was a cancer patient. I went to his house, one of the members' uncle. And the cancer patient, I told him, this is an older man. He said, look at my pants. He was half the size of the pants. And he said he has been given 3 to 6 months to live. I told him that, don't worry, God is going to heal you. Oh, but no buts, God is going to heal you. I became like a hero there. The wife, thank you, don't thank me yet. Look, the guy died a few days, if it wasn't a week after. So, but it doesn't change anything. And as you keep on believing God, I went to a Mayo Clinic, and a woman who was diagnosed with cancer, who was on the deathbed, coma, tumors, metastasized stage 4, deathbed, the nurses, anytime you see nurses bow, it means that it's finished. The lady got up after the prayer and went to work, healed. So my thing is, believe God, always believe God. Never say that it didn't work this time, so I'm not going to believe. I don't believe in that. So because of that, they brought this girl. When she came to me, she says, I'm cursed. I said, oh, how? She says, in the past, anytime she tries to get a job, she can't sustain it. And because of that, she went to a particular church, a new prophet in town. And when she went, things got worse. Of course, there are good prophets, but it's not everyone who carries God's spirit. So things got worse. Then she went to a particular place. When she went, instead of the spirit of God entering into her, I'll tell you which spirit. I'll let you tell me which spirit it could be when I tell you the story. After the prayer, the lady, she had breasts, meaning that she was well-breasted. You understand when I explain it. The lady tore her. Look, there's a packed church. Tore her dress or her hair. screaming after the prayer. Then took her bra. So everything was dangling. She was screaming. And she was about to remove her. And then it took 5-6 people to carry her out. So she came to me and said, right now, I can't even get it, a job. I'm cursed. I told her that we don't need any deliverance. All we need is, I'll just say a simple prayer to you, for you, simple in the office. I'll tell you to pray every day. She had another church. So go to your church. Pray in your church. Read your Bible every day. And that's the end. That was it. That's all she needed. She was free. Why? Because the word and the preaching deals with man's problems from the root of it. Don't you put your hands together for Jesus. From the root of it. Number two. Preaching is powerful because it releases the power of God. It releases the power of God. It releases the power of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed, hallelujah, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Meaning that to everyone. To everyone. Psalm 107 verse 20. So the gospel is the power of God. The gospel releases power. I don't know, I'm preaching to somebody here. I said the gospel releases the power of God. He sent his word. Hallelujah. Now what does this verse mean? The people of Israel, they started to forsake God. They stopped going to church. They stopped reading their Bibles. You see, you're reading the Bible, it's always going to be reading your Bible. You can't run from that. But it's hard for me to read my Bible. It's hard for everyone to read their Bibles. But we have to amend the force. Meaning that it's hard. But anytime something is hard, it means that it is so good for you that the devil fights it. It's hard for all of us to read our Bibles, but we have to say to ourselves, no, I'm going to read it. I'm going to make sure I read it before I sleep. I'm going to make sure I read it before I go to work. Or I'm going to make sure I read it before I eat. Make it a rule. Amen. Make it a rule, because if you don't do that, if you are not careful, you will not read your Bible. But it is the Bible that is the power. Amen. So the people of Israel stopped reading their Bibles. And foreclosures were on the all-time high. Car repossessions were skyrocketing. Cancer was at a, it broke the records. Diabetes was what? Out of the charts, out the roof. So the people cried to the Lord, help us, O God. Then he sent his word and healed them and deliver them from their distractions. So God sent his what? Word. And his word delivered. His word solved their problems. Now, why is that so important? John 1:1, our famous John 1:1, we all know it. In the beginning was the word. Glory to God. And the word was with God. And the word was God. So in the beginning, before time existed, there was a time that time began. There was a time that there was no time. It's all in Revelation and in the Bible. So in the beginning was the word. And that word is the word Logos. The Bible. And the word was with God the Father, and the word was God. Now, it's clear that the word was God, not a God like the devil has told the certain group of people. Because that Greek word is clearly God and not a. Don't shut me down. Preaching God here. So in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So it means that if we are able to find out who that word is, it will help. The same verse 2 was with God in the beginning. All things, verse 3, were made by him. And without him, so now the word is a him. And without him was not made, or was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life. That's the word. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. It means that that word was light. And anytime there's darkness, and darkness is another word for everything you pray against. And when there was darkness, that word shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not withstand it. Next verse. Verse 6. There was sent, continue. Okay, now go to verse 10. We are going from 10 to 14. He was in the world. Now the he is the word. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. So the word is, they are talking about the word coming to his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received the word, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh. No question that it was our Lord Jesus. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Put your hands together for Jesus. So, the word releases power. Look, it is amazing. There are many things my parents tried to tell me not to do. I didn't change.
Yeah, that's right.
My parents said, don't smoke. Don't drink alcohol. Don't smoke weed. It didn't change anything. My father would see me, eyes red. Alcohol, he told me I drink like a fish. Clubbing. I wasn't afraid of HIV. Finishing the woman. Yeah, as an unbeliever. Just taking them, yeah. As I see them. Because as an unbeliever, when a woman, you know you can get her, you can tell just by looking at her. Hey! I don't mean just looking at the person, but eye contact and just watching a few things. So it was just a mess. And the news of HIV didn't scare me. Cirrhosis. A friend died of cirrhosis. Died. Liver, university, died. Deathbed, died. That couldn't change, but the preaching of the word is what changed things. I said the preaching of the word is what changed things. So people who knew me in the past said, ah, Charlie, this church thing you are doing, what is the purpose? Is it to take the girls one by one? This easy access? No. It's because the word has changed the person. Look, believe me, that disease is real. Cirrhosis is real. Releases the power to change lives. Yeah. Am I preaching to somebody?
Preaching.
There is a story, a true story. A man came to me. In fact, this one is even the next point, but I'll tell you. A man came to me And as he came, he said, I'll tell you a story, Pastor. And he tears down his eyes. I said, what's the problem? If you know my story, it's not easy. I said, wow, what? He said, he has his wife back home. And he needed to handle himself in the system. I guess people know what I'm talking about here. He needed to handle himself in the system in America in a certain way. And by doing that, he needed to enter into some contracts. Do you understand? Because this is being recorded. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now this man, he was weeping and said, Pastor, the lady I was dealing with said, I must sleep with her. And he said, I cannot do this to God. I will not sleep with you. I have a wife back home. So he didn't sleep with a woman. His friend said, we need to frame your picture and put it on board. You need to be placed in a museum. Are you stupid? Are you stupid? The guy said, no, he won't do it. But a girl said, look, told his friends that if you don't do it, I'm available. All of them went in. Faced this new hair. Now, this guy was, and I said, okay, but what does that have to do with your tears? He said, they found out that she had HIV. So what does it mean? You can see how the preaching, how the preaching, just following the preaching, gave power not to do it and to save his life from HIV. Hey! The preaching. Even me, it's amazing. I'm sure that one next week, God willing. But preaching. Let me give you one last verse for this today, and we'll continue next week, God willing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, what is the world? The world is everything you don't want. The world is poverty. The world is lack of job, lack of finances, disgrace, sickness, disease, depression, just name it. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So it means that the world is something to resist, to overcome. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it means that what overcomes the world is our faith, or the engine or the power that causes overcoming power or overcoming victory over the world is faith. Amen. So faith is actually what the tool to overcome the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
So you can have faith in anything, but faith in what? Faith in what? But it explains the faith we are talking about. Whatsoever overcometh the world, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Amen.
Now, how do we get that faith that overcomes the world? Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get faith by the Bible. You get faith by hearing the word of God. You and I can only get faith by the word.
Amen.
Am I preaching to somebody?
Amen.
And that faith will give us total victory over the world. And we will overcome the world. We will be victorious in this life. And when we are on our deathbeds, what is it, 90? I used to say 87. I've extended it to 95. Yeah. 100, yeah. You see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I will say it and say it. You can say it too. I say that I have the strength of a 17 and a half. I believe it. Amen. Oh, I believe it. Amen. You see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why, many people have tried to prove it. Etta Emmanuel, she was a sprinter. Look, I've been able to outstand many young people. Many. With my daughter and I, even this child, Zumba, I've whipped her in it. She's tired. Look, why? Because I just believe and I confess. The Bible says, have the God kind of faith. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answered unto them, saith unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Speak, confess, believe. Jesus Christ is the high priest and apostle of our profession. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. I'll do it. So, 95. And the 95, I'm not going to be cleaned. God forbid. 95, I'll be able to walk. I mean, as an old man. 95. Oh, cash. Oh, you. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because I'm confessing it. Amen. And God says, you can have what you say.
Amen.
Yeah. And the strength of a 17-year-old sprinting on the road, wherever. Because I believe it. So you can imagine if a young person is confessing like that. Wow. The youths. The youth shall faint, shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. Let's be there. Glory!
Who? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! I'm not out of word, I'm just out of time. Shall we stand to our feet?
Hallelujah.
We'll continue God with it. Hallelujah. Oh, let's speak to the Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you honor.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful Jesus. Speak to us, O God. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Just ask the Lord to give you the grace.
Oh, yes. Grace, Lord. Grace, Lord.
To draw near to his word, to desire his word, to expose yourself to the preaching and teaching. Another way to do it is to just get audio messages, podcasts. Oh, yes, Lord. Give me your word. May I love your word. May I know your word.
Yes, Lord.
May I delight myself in your word. Oh God. In the name of Jesus. May we believe your word.
Who is like you in all the earth? Countless love and beauty, endless world.
Yes, oh.
Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Jesus,
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Who is like you, Lord Jesus?
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
Oh, yeah.
Countless endless love and build the endless world. Nothing in this world will satisfy
Jesus.
Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Your presence, Lord.
Your presence is heaven to me.
Your presence
is heaven.
One more time, who is like me?
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
Oh, Jesus, none like you.
Matchless love and beauty, endless world. Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Yes, Lord.
Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
Your presence, Lord,
your presence is heaven.
If there's anyone here who wants to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I want my sins forgiven. I want to be washed with the blood of Jesus. If you are here this afternoon and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want Jesus. Just lift your hands high up and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone?
Jesus.
Anybody?
Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
So repeat after me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
I come to you.
I come to you
in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that He died on the cross.
That He died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that His blood
was shed
for me. Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I believe that God raised you from the dead. Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins. Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
I will live in victory.
From today. Help me, O God.
To live in the light of your word.
Help me, O God. To walk in faith.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.